I introduce myself to most of you. Okay, I have a couple of students, maybe, that I don't know. But okay, my name is Kyeongnam Cha. I'm from Korea. I teach Bible here. For the most part, Old Testament is my major area, but I also teach New Testament because that's what I did at Cascade College before I came to ACU. And I also teach world religions / Abrahamic faith, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. I grew up in Korea, South Korea that is, not North Korea. So I grew up with Buddhist Confucian culture, and I became a Christian after coming to the States. I'm an Old Testament guy, so I naturally took Judaism and Islam classes at doctoral level. So learning about different religions helped me quite a bit, but also actually coming to this country has helped me tremendously because it's a different perspective. Hopefully that's something that I can offer you this morning. But when I was asked this topic, Asian, loving Asian, okay, I thought, that's a no problem to me. I am married to Asian wife, so I am biased, and I am Asian. So, I mean, it's a moot question for me. I mean, who wouldn't, right? So, rather than me talking about why we should love Asian neighbors, let me hear from you. Actually, I ask my students and even all kinds of languages in their language what it means in their language, the neighbor, the word neighbor means. So I learned from my students. I did not use them correctly because I didn't have font. But anyway, so let's begin with you talking about giving me reasons why we should love Asians, our Asian neighbors here in this country, as well as the ones that you don't even see. So let's talk about that. So give me reasons. Yes, Walter.
For me, mm-hmm. I travel a lot.
You travel a lot.
And I, my coworkers that I go visit uh-huh. four times a year is in Taipei and Shanghai and Beijing. So uh-huh. I go there quite often. I've been to South Korea many times.
Okay.
Visiting customers as well as China in, uh-huh. in Taipei. So the people I interact with, uh-huh. much of my business life is in Asia.
Okay.
And so for me, they are definitely my neighbors.
Uh-huh. Business perspective.
Business, well, but also relationship. You know,
okay.
I've had them over to my house, and uh-huh. we're developing good uh-huh. relationship. In fact, I've got a good friend who works for Samsung uh-huh. in Korea, uh-huh. and we continue to interact.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. As you can see, there are several reasons that I found. For one, the first one, medical reason, okay, medical perspective. And the second one would be geopolitical, sociological, anthropological reason why you should love Asians. How about that? Just stick it, a long one. And the third one is obviously, theological perspective, why we should love Asian neighbors. And then related to that, one is actually something that I found out this summer. So that is tied to theological reasons, but also, well, I put it for the investment purpose. So we'll talk about that. So what else? Anybody else? Why should we bother?
They make wonderful food.
This guy is biased because I met him in China. As I took my students to Korea and China, I'm from Korea, but I'm fascinated by China, how God is actively working in the country. So not knowing Chinese, I can read this much, and that's all. And I, you know, take my students to China. When I took 8 students to Ningbo and went to Shanghai as well, and there this guy was. So he's biased, again. And his wife, my former student actually, cooks, I hear, cooks Asian food. So he's obviously biased. Okay. Anybody else? Why should we bother to love Asian neighbors?
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, why not? Okay. Last night, Monty Cox was talking about loving all, right? Why not? Everybody is God's children. Some just don't realize, right? Mm-hmm. So why not? Yeah. Well, and that's done. Now move on. All right. Anybody else? Yes.
I'm from the Philippines, so I'm also an Asian. So uh-huh. When I see Asian something here, I join. I belong also to International Bible Study, which uh-huh. we have Asian, uh-huh. and Korean, uh-huh. Korean Filipino, Latin Americans, mm-hmm. and Chinese. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm a nurse in Henry, so. Uh-huh. I want also to have relationship with other Asian nations, uh-huh. especially I also go to mission, medical missions.
Uh-huh. There you go. There's a reason for you to love Asian neighbors.
And also we Filipino have good
food. Oh yeah, rumpia.
Yeah, rumpia.
I love it.
When we have party, they will say, "Oh, you have such love."
And hard workers, right?
Hard workers,
I ran into this guy. I thought I knew him. I thought I saw him on this campus hosting when Asian students came, the Japanese students came. I thought he was the one who hosted those Japanese students. Well, was it Korean students? I did both. So, but anyway, I run into him at a mall, and I took my students, those ones that I hosted, we hosted, and I run into him. So, oh, hi, how are you? How are you doing? And I thank you. I appreciate all that you're doing for those students. And he said, okay, he's lost because he looked very much like the person that I saw, but actually he was from Philippines, and he was a nurse, and he had five kids. So. Yeah. Population went up. So, tell your friends to go to Korea because Korea, 1.13 birth rate is that low, so they need more children. Anybody else? Why you should bother to love Koreans? Or there's a Freudian slip.
One thing,
Asians.
One thing more. I also met Pastor Lee. If you know him, he is a Korean. Minister, Baptist Korean minister.
Okay, the one who just retired?
Yes.
I studied with him, actually. Maybe in this particular room, he was sitting way back there, I was sitting over here.
Yeah.
So that was quite some years ago.
Because sometimes we go to their charts.
He's retired and he went to
Dallas?
where his kids are.
Yeah.
All right. So Mary just came up with that medical reason. Okay. Let me talk about, sort of jokingly, but here, I found something very interesting when I looked through this book that talks about medical schools. Did you know? Here, medical school graduates by ethnicity, 20% Asians, and especially Indians. They had separate category, top medical schools. They have white students, African-American students, Asian students, Hispanic students, and Indian students. They're all on their own category. I thought that was very interesting. Because I lived in Midland for 3 years, and there, well, half the doctors are either from India or Pakistan. And I asked this guy, who has a very thick accent. I couldn't even understand. But he teaches at a certain university, and he's in India. So I asked him, so that's the case. Why is it? Is it because in India, you're limited because of the caste system? There's a limitation. But here in this country, it's a land of opportunity, though, so that there's that appreciation that you take off. And he says, those upper caste in India, they have no reason to come here. But here are those lower castes who could not be a medical doctor there. I mean, this is a land of opportunity. They take it to maximum, to the extreme. They're on their own category. So, love your nation neighbors. It's good for your health. right? I mean, 20% chances are 20% of you doctors would be Asians. Mm-hmm. And my wife's heart specialist, yeah, he's from India. Go figure, right? So, yes, there's that aspect. What about this? Another reason. Mm-hmm. Wow. China, between China and India, actually. If you love Chinese and Indian, you're done. Okay, right in this classroom, actually, I have three classes in this classroom, actually, this semester. So, yeah, but those three sections, two sections of the New Testament, one section of the Old Testament, they just bombed the exam. Half the class failed. So, terrible teacher. But I would say, I mean, if you love Asians, I mean, that's 60%. If you love Asians and Asians only, you'll pass. 60% is pass. I wish my students get at least that much point, that many points. Wow, I know. That's mean. Those students will not take my Bible class. It's my cornerstone class, which is a totally different class. So, Hakuna Matata, right? And, well, you're from Australia. So, well, Val, you're actually Russia, right? Originally born in Russia. So, well, I have a map that includes this much of Australia and this much of Russia. Because, well, geographically, it's right there, right?
So, yeah, it's a good reason.
And that's one of the reasons that I take. In spite of the fact I don't even speak Chinese, I take my students. And at I'm at the mercy of God and my Chinese friends, my contact. And I just found out my old student, he was in two of my Bible classes. And he is right now in my senior Bible class with Neil's son. And he just confessed, after the trip was done, he just confessed that he was my translator for some while. Mm-hmm. He's from China. He's from China, so perfect, right? I don't have to worry about getting lost and things like that, right? Ordering food and all those things. He confessed just a few days ago that he made up stories when I talk too long.
Oh.
By the time I stopped, and, you know, he forgot what I said earlier, so he made up some of the stories. And I thought, come on, George, don't do that. Why did you do that? But
it was my fault because I
just talked too long rather than having short sentences when I have translated. But anyway, yes. China, I mean, between China and India, that's almost half the world's population. Well, and Chinese people, oh, they can multiply. No, I'm talking about not. I'm talking about church. You know, teaching. I got you. They have only one child policy, and they changed it to two now. But that will take a while. But you know, the students that I teach, undergrad Bible college, once they graduate, well, you know how they multiply. He did that. I mean, many they plant many house churches, and any number of churches they work with, and. This one translator, he said, he's a meat manager at this foreign company, and his young person, his English is as good as mine, if not better, so very impressive, and his beautiful wife and little kid, tiny kid, just barely a year old at the time, and he says, 5 times a week in the evening, he goes to house churches. 5 different churches, house churches that he teaches. And I asked him, and he said, I'm 5th generation Christian.
Wow.
Oh. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow. Here, on a more serious note, okay, we all know about this Code of Hammurabi, the famous one, right? But if we turnitin.com, we use that turnitin.com, this would bring 95% plagiarized. Did you know? Yeah, because here, Code of Runanmu goes all the way back to 2050 BC. Wow, that's hundreds and almost 1,000 years older than the biblical material. So very interesting. And the thing is, there are many similarities, but it is that a small dissimilarity that makes a whole lot of difference. For example, human DNA, Human Genome Project, right? Language of God, Francis Collins says, we share, you and I share 99.999% genome sequence, DNA sequence. But how come I am head taller than you, more handsome, and all that? It's that 0.0001%. That little difference makes who we are, isn't it? So when we compare that to ancient Near Eastern narratives and law codes to the Bible, that is fascinating. Because one thing, okay, there you go. Theological reason why you should love your Asian neighbors. Okay, for one, here. Ancient Near Eastern religions were national and regional religions. And we will talk about this more fully later. But also, ancient Near Eastern religions were a private matter, private affair. So we will talk about what it means. Okay, going back to this Code of Hammurabi, in the ancient Near Eastern law codes, all those, the older ones, perhaps, you know, that's the foundation of human law codes, right? And they are so long, but in their law code, there's nothing about foreigners. Isn't that interesting? Aren't you glad, James? There's some concern. Well, he's from Australia, so he's an outsider, foreigner. But in the Bible, it is a different story. So many times in the Old Testament, there's care, there's concern for foreigners. Because here it says, do not oppress an alien. You yourselves know how it feels to be aliens, because you were aliens in Egypt. I confess that I was a racist. I still fight that demon. Because back in Korea, when I grew up, everybody looked like me. And everybody was 99.99% pure Koreans. Mm-hmm. Now, there are, as you might have seen, Walter, there are about 4 million foreigners in Korea working. So it's a different story. But when I grew up, everybody was like me. If somebody was not like me, we, just like here in America, we used that N-word. Except it wasn't Korean, right? And especially they're Korean, half Koreans, but half Koreans, no matter who, yeah, we looked down on them, we made fun of them, right? And I didn't know how terrible I was. And it was only after I came to the States, when I was that foreigner, and like I said, I became a Christian 2 years after coming to the States for many reasons. Coming to a foreign country, living in a foreign country, that has made me a better person, because I have to think about it. In this stage of my life, even though I am a naturalized U.S. citizen, I am no longer a fully Korean, and I can never be fully an American.
because where I am. And my identity, just like Paul says, my citizenship belongs to heaven. And it's not just a racism, but it is a nationalism, patriotism that gets in the way. And ancient Near Eastern religions were all national religions. It's about us and them. And for example, we, you know, recently, 2020, or was it 60 Minutes? From 15th to 19th century, slave trade, that was a big thing. And during that time, Western world transported, slave trade was about 12 million. So 15th century to 19th century, 12 million. That's combining all those European countries, right? One single country from this part of the world, Assyria would be way up there, during their 300 year of hegemony, they transported, deported 4.5 million people. Well, from 15th to 19th century, there were more people to choose from. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about 3,000, almost 3,000 years ago, transporting, deporting 4.5 million people. That's very interesting. Here, so as it shows, because you were aliens, you should be concerned about, you should be fair to foreigners. So if we do not love our foreigners, or Asian neighbors, oh, bias, the Korean thing, right? And that's why you have to love me, you have to put up with me, right? James, even if I put, you know, pick on you, you have to put up with me, right? Until I give you that grade, right? After that, it's a different story. But anyway, here. If we do not love, not just Asians, not just Koreans, not just Filipinos, but if we do not love foreigners, we remain pagan. There's that theological reason why we should love our neighbors, even the ones that you don't even see. Yes, there are, you know, those health reasons, right? It's good for your health, seriously, but also jokingly. But a more important reason is that I did not know how racist I was back in Korea, because everybody looked like me. And there is a very thin line between patriotism and idolatry. That's what I say. And that's why I say, you know, as a Korean American here in the States, like I said, I'm neither fully Korean or fully American. Because where I am, I can see things more objectively. And it is not accidental. Paul, who talks about loving all humankind, he was not concerned about making Gentiles Jew first. Just come as you are, right? You don't have to become a Jew to be a Christian. That's the whole thing about his justification by faith. And I'm thinking, I can kind of understand where he was, because he's also diaspora, right? A Jew living in a foreign country. And that is why probably he says, my citizenship. So we have to expand this nationalistic, natural thinking. Here, this book talks about the danger between nationalism, patriotism, and idolatry. Nicholas Waterstorff is a Witten and Calvin College product, very conservative. And this is what it says about a nation. A nation can become
so preoccupied with itself that its welfare becomes for its members the sovereign good, America first. Then the actions of the nation are no longer submitted to the requirements of justice and peace. They are no longer submitted to the normative appraisal. They are no longer tested against the demands of a sovereign lord. The nation begins to consider itself sovereign. It treats itself as supreme, as ultimate. Loyalty to nation becomes an end in itself. I've seen that too many times, both in Korea and here in this country. Pride in membership supersedes all other identification, even as a Christian. Legitimate nationalism has then become idolatrous nationalism. Idolatrous in the same way that, as we saw earlier, the pursuit of economic growth can become idolatrous. Idolatrous nationalism is not helpful. It's not healthful. It is life of its members. It is intensely poisonous. When a nation suffers from nationalism unchecked, the life of its members is twisted and distorted. And nation becomes a menace among nations because it accepts no standards for international peace and justice. You know what happened when I, you know, went to Israel, this country, with my teacher, John Willis. There were about 50 Americans, teachers and the students, doing archaeological dig. On the weekend, what we did was we rented this Muslim-owned bus having different license plates so that everybody knows that it is a Muslim. It belongs to Muslim company, right? And we were in Hebron, and pretty narrow because a traditional marketplace and so many people. And all of a sudden, we heard this loud banging noise. Wake up, we got shot. No, some kid threw a rock at the bus, so windshield is broken. Mm-hmm. So thankfully, that was it. But I could feel the hatred against America. Because we dictate the world policy based on our national interest. And there's a very thin line between idolatry and patriotism. And it's so difficult to see when you're in it. Just as I was blind to my racism, my nationalism when I was in Korea. So here, private affair. Again, another theological reason. If we don't love our neighbors, for example, Asian neighbors, previously Koreans, right? Then again, we remain pagan, I would say, pagan Christian. You have heard nominal Christian, right? I would say pagan Christian. Because in the ancient world, both Greco-Roman and ancient Near Eastern world, my relationship to others had nothing to do with religion. Religion was a private matter. It's my relationship with my God. How I treat you is irrelevant to my spiritual life. As you all know, that's not what the Bible teaches, right? It is not a private affair, but it is a relational affair. Because I said business perspective, it's not just for business, right, but it's for right perspective. But it is good for business too, building that relationship. You know in Asia how that relationship is valued.
Yes.
Yeah. Because in China, you know, right? Quanxi, that relationship makes things happen, right? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes too much, right? So that corruption comes in. But relationship is important. And here in the Bible, of course,
famous for it, the Ten Commandments.
And not just that, in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, my relationship with God, but also from the fifth one, my relationship to others. My relationship with God should be reflected with my relationship to others. And, you know, Jesus said, love one another just as I have loved you. Right? I mean, just as I loved you, you love me back. That's not what he is saying, right? And I thought, you know, remember I became a Christian as a young person and I grew up with worldly thinking, right? You scratch my back, I scratch your back, and what? It just dawned on me, wow, that's so different. I mean, my expectation was that, yes, because I love you, you love me back, right? But Jesus says, because I loved you unto death, love one another. And without that, again, we remain pagan. Because pagan religion is all about my relationship with God. It has nothing to do with how I treat you or you treat me. It's something else. So here, who is my neighbor? Help me. I know, sorry, I butchered your a language, I couldn't find the font, the right font. So help me, how do you read it? Okay. Help me, okay. Pun-ban. Okay, wow. Can you do it?
No.
No? How about a Chinese? Your son speaks now fluent Chinese, so.
I can.
You can?
Come on.
I know, maybe that's Nepalese, so, well, we don't have any Nepalese here, so I can butcher it, right? And nobody will know it. But the point is, you know, we teachers sometimes lie. You know why? I know, because there's, you know, those teachers say, there's no dumb question, right? And but you know, he is nodding. Joseph. Yesterday I was there. No, it wasn't Monday. And there was this person. Gary Green was making a great presentation, and there was this guy asking a question. Oh, you were there. You were there, Neil. And I thought, oh, here we go. That stupid question. That's irrelevant. And wasting everybody's time. There's some evil questions. There are some bad questions. This is, who is my neighbor? In Hebrew, this word, neighbor, is from anybody that you have a friend, a mutual friend, who you do not even know, right? It's a mutual friend, but you don't even know. But includes that person all the way to the one that you love, your friend. So in Hebrew, this word neighbor is very inclusive. So the moment the guy who asks, who is my neighbor? That is a bad question. Because you must cut out some people from that list, right? He's gonna make that choice. Now I'm gonna focus my love on this lovable ones, desirable ones, right? So, bad question to begin with. Because in Hebrew, that is a very inclusive. That includes anyone almost. Here. Who's your daddy? All right. I know that can be misunderstood. But here, I'm talking about your spiritual daddy. All right. There are about 56 Asian nations, and I myself don't know. So it's all right. I can name probably about 20. But, you know, South Korea is there, and Saudi Arabia, right? Okay. Do you know which country this is?
Syria.
Oh. Okay. What about this?
Yeah, rock.
This is not a typical American, you know. This is a guy who spent 2 years in China. And this is a guy whose wife cooks Asian food, even though she is not an Asian. Okay, so this is exceptional. So that doesn't happen. But anyway, Guardian Earl is right there. That's about 70 miles away from Mosul. Political science professor, Mosul. What do we know about Mosul?
Currently it's inhabited by ISIS.
Okay. Well, that's on the news all the time, right? Who's your daddy? Your spiritual father. Did you know our spiritual father, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, all trace its lineage back to Abraham. Abraham is from Chaldean Ur. He's an Iraqi. You were there again, Neil, Jeff Childers class, Philip Lee Masters class. Heartbreaking. Because there are ancient Christians, 1.4 million in Syria. After 9/11, after what's happening, decimated to about 200,000. Same thing in this place. I mean, I said, I'm first generation Christian. A Chinese friend, fifth generation Christian. This, they go back to thousands of years, to the first century. They endured all that persecution, and now being decimated. Who's your daddy? Here. I mean, here Isaiah says, we'll talk about 8th century BC. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Egypt, Assyria, arch enemies of Israel. The Assyrians will go to Egypt and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and the Assyrians will worship together. In that day, Israel will be the third, not the only one, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth. I thought it was just Abram and his descendants. 1.4 million Christians there, ancient Christians. Yeah, Syria, that's... Yeah, Syria and Iraq, that's ancient, yeah, Assyria and blah, blah, blah. By the way, it's not 100% sure, but people say that Asia, that came from that word Assyria. So nobody knows for sure, but I thought, okay, that's interesting. Here, this past summer, our dean, Ken Saprosky, Mark Hamilton, I went to Korea for SBL International. SBL is our conference. When it's held in the States, this year it will be in San Antonio. About 10,000 of them come, Bible religion professors. So this is the biggest thing on earth. Because in European countries, Christianity is down. So this is it. Now, European countries, and, you know, their professors come this way, and all over from other countries. But not all of them, you know, from other countries, it's difficult to come, right? So what our society, Biblical Society, does is that alternates 1 year in Europe so that those who couldn't come can get together and presentation are taking place. So this time, for the second time in Asia, it was held in Korea. So we went and we made presentations, and this is not all. I mean, this is just a one fraction of who were there. Hundreds of them were there from all over the world. And this is a Korea Christian University. So for from investment perspective, I am talking about loving your neighbor. It was a very touching thing because there I got to see this one. This is from this elder in Tennessee, 1960. This one, this particular one is 1960. So a few years down the road, the money that they collected will be spent to buy this one. And KCU board of chairman of the board took us to this missionary compound. Now it is worth $200 million. But you know what? When I saw the contribution list, both churches and individuals, and this one, my friend sent it to me. This one doesn't have that individual list and with amount, but it was $2, $5. That's most typical. $5 in 1960s. Invest in your kingdom, in God's kingdom. I mean, a little early, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. This is 1,000-fold and plus after 60 years. Guess what it will do for eternity? I mean, that's not a little amount of money. It says $14,580.32 that they raised from churches, multiple churches, and multiple individuals. But that investment after 60, 70 years, just one little piece. Not to mention this, is a bigger piece. Just one little piece is worth $200 million. And Pepperdine's Bible chair was there. John Fitzgerald from Notre Dame was there. Yale's dean, all Churches of Christ affiliated, because this is. Greg Stalling was there, and our dean was there, and KCU, a chair of the board, is telling, we will give you this land that was purchased by American money, right? 60, 70 years ago. Build something, study abroad, center world, whatever. Build something, use that to for the kingdom of God. And they are doing it already. About 36 Asians came and studied there at the doctoral and master's level. And one time after class, a student, a couple of students, they wanted to take me out for lunch, I did actually, and I insisted. My wife is a nurse. I make a comfortable living. ACU doesn't pay a great amount of money, but I still make a comfortable living. He's a student, so I was willing to buy dinner for them. But he insisted. He wanted to buy dinner for me. This guy from Cambodia, and I asked him, "Why are you here?" He said, Korean dream, just as I followed an American dream. And I was not a Christian, right? I achieved American dream, something actually better than that because I became a Christian, right? Doing the same thing. That same thing is happening on this land. I was purchased with $2, $5, and I did $6. Amazing. So remember, if we don't love our neighbors, we are paid. If we are to invest in anything, yes, invest in the kingdom, because literally 30-fold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold, in just 60, 70 years. Guess how that's going to be in eternity. So, let me ask you now. So what do you think? Why should we love Asian neighbors?
God loves them.
God loves them. Yes, that's a good reason. Because
we are imitating our father. And when Isaac, my son Isaac, you know Isaac, when he was this tall, when I was a first-time, full-time student, what I did was I wanted to get away from that study. I wanted to do something physical. I built a desk for myself, my nephews, and bookshelves and all that. My son Isaac, who was barely a year old, maybe not even a year old, he watched me doing that for weeks. And one day, I saw him. Bradley Knight told me. He was trying to imitate me, so I bought him plastic tool set. So yeah, you do yours there. I'm doing my stuff. So we naturally imitate our father. So and those who are loved by God, actually who really understand what it is, loved by God, will reflect that. Right? Anybody else?
Love our Asian neighbors because they are our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes. And I would say even go further. Even, I mean, not for me, but this is my struggle. I mean, what about those Asians that are not our brothers in Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ yet? Yeah. And those who blow themselves up to kill others. Right? Ooh, how can we love them? Remember the word neighbor in Hebrew? It's very inclusive. That should even include those ISIS. I know that's difficult. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for coming to this session, and I appreciate your presence, and I hope that you go out and teach others that if you don't love Asian, Korean neighbors here on this country, in this country or there, then you're a pagan Christian. Don't say that way. Just say nicely. It's ESL guy, so you don't have that excuse. Thank you very much.